You are listening to a sermon by Jesse Nichol, recorded on Sunday, May 23, 2021, at Point Grey Intermennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
All right. Well, good morning, officially, everyone. It's a pleasure to be virtually together with you today. And I thought I would start my time with you this morning with a question. It's a big question, perhaps, but it's big because it's important. So the question is, what is the good life? When you think of the good life, what do you think of? What does true flourishing look like? Is there even such a thing? Is there a way of being in the world that brings contentment, fulfillment, maybe even happiness? Is there some sort of secret key to unlocking this knowledge, something that is true across all times and all cultures? Now, while the idea that such a thing exists, it sounds a bit like the stuff of myth. It might strike some of us as unlikely or maybe even just straight up wishful thinking. Before we brush it off entirely, I think we need to acknowledge that attempts to define or describe the truly good life can be found in one way or another in pretty much every religious or philosophical system that you can think of. Some describe it as the search for happiness. Others seek to attain nirvana. Some write treatises on the virtues. Still others describe the meaning of life. But in all of these ways and many others, human beings have sought to define, explain, and identify this concept by answering a question like this, a question that rests really at the center of existence. What does the truly good life look like? Perhaps it should then come as no surprise that the scriptures of both Judaism and Christianity actually have plenty to say on the topic. Throughout the Bible, we find descriptions of what this good life looks like. In the Jewish scriptures, such statements are often expressed using the Hebrew word ashrei. According to biblical scholar Jonathan Pennington, ashrei is used to describe the happy state of the one who lives wisely. It refers to true happiness and flourishing within the gracious covenant God has given. This is illustrated nowhere more effectively than in the first of the passages read this morning, Psalm 1, which begins, ashrei, translated in the NIV as blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of Yahweh, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Now, it's important to note that although ashrei is, as in verse 1 here, often translated into English as blessed or blessed, it's not meant to communicate the idea of blessing from God. There's a different word for that. In other words, the point of Psalm 1 is not to say, if one avoids the way of the wicked and instead delights in the law of Yahweh, then God will bless that person. Instead, it communicates something that is true about a way of life. It is, to quote Pennington again, a pronouncement based on observation that a certain way of being in the world produces human flourishing and felicity. Psalm 1 is not God saying, if you want me to bless you, then do this. Rather, it is one human being looking at the life of another and responding with the declaration, that is the way to flourish. That one is ashray. Now, while this distinction is important, I don't want to press it too far, because I also want to emphasize that this ashray way of life is always connected to God. One cannot be ashray apart from God. Not only is it true that every good blessing of life is understood to have its source in God, one cannot be blessed unless one is blessed by God, but also that the way of life acknowledged as ashray is consistently associated with the ways of God. So it's with this in mind that we turn our attention to the language of wisdom, its presence in the scriptures, and its association with ashray. Second only to Psalms in terms of the frequency with which ashray occurs is the book of Proverbs. And in Proverbs, the ashray one is primarily the one who finds wisdom and lives wisely. A couple of examples will show this. So first of all, Proverbs 3, verse 13 and following, we read, ashray, again, blessed, are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding. For she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Those who hold her fast will be blessed. And then chapter 8 concludes with, now then, my children, listen to me. This is, by the way, this is wisdom itself speaking. Ashrei, blessed, are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Do not disregard it. Ashrei are those who listen to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. For those who find me, find life and receive favor from the Lord. But those who fail to find me harm themselves. All those who hate me love death. So not only is wisdom of more value than silver or even gold, even more significant for our purposes is the association of wisdom with life. The one who finds wisdom finds life, true life, flourishing life. The one who embraces wisdom and walks in its paths can truly be called ashray, because that is the way that leads to life, the life of blessing, fulfillment, and flourishing is found in the ways of wisdom. So the question then becomes, what is wisdom? Well, just like what is the good life, this question is both of ageless interest to human beings and frequently addressed in the Bible, where wisdom at its very heart is associated with knowing God. Just think, for example, of the familiar, though admittedly often misunderstood statement, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. This from Proverbs chapter 9. The wisdom way of life, that which marks one as ashray, is rooted in knowing God. And this is so for two reasons. First, because to know God is to know that God alone is God. God alone is sovereign over all creation, all places, all times, all people, all history. All of this is in God's hands. But even more so, to know God is not only to know that there is a God that is all-powerful, but it is to know the character of this God. The God who created all things, the God who holds all things in existence is, to quote Exodus 34, Yahweh, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. The one who is wise knows this God, knows that this God is sovereign and lives accordingly. The second reason that the wisdom ashray way of life is rooted in knowing God is because human beings are made in God's image and created with the purpose of imaging God in God's creation. In other words, wisdom is connected to knowing God because the more we understand what God is like, the more we understand what we, in turn, are called to be like, what we were made for. The metaphor of the tree, which was used in Psalm 1 and Proverbs 3, which I read earlier, it's helpful here because in the same way that you can tell that a tree is flourishing by the verdant foliage or flowers or abundant fruit that it produces. In other words, when it is doing precisely what it was made to do, so you can spot a flourishing or ashray person by the fruit of that one's life. To quote Galatians 5, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. What are these, if not character traits, of God? The ashray one is the one whose life yields fruit, fruit that tastes of the God in whose image that one is made. Wisdom, rooted in the knowledge of that God, is thus a crucial component, because if we don't know who God is, how can we seek to walk in God's ways or embody God's character? So when it comes to the good life, the scriptures make it clear that one whose way of life is ashray, that is, one whose way of life leads to true flourishing, is the one who lives in line with who God created her or him to be, the bearer of God's image, one who seeks to reflect God's character, who seeks to live in accordance with God's intention for God's creation, one who participates in God's work of restoring shalom to all things, who lives as a citizen of the kingdom of this God. Sisters and brothers, part of what makes this good news is that the ashray way of life is not dependent upon external circumstances. You don't need to be rich or have a college degree or be the top of your field or fit our culture's ideals of beauty or be married or have kids or whatever other ambition you have that you think might bring you closer to contentment. The lack of such things is no barrier to walking in the ways of wisdom and in so doing, flourishing. The one who is ashray is the one who lives the life God made them for in any and all circumstances. Few of us would say that the pandemic has been conducive to a life of flourishing. When we envision the good life, social distancing isn't the first thing that comes to mind. The normal everyday routines of our life have been made more complicated. Activities we enjoy, many of which we took for granted, have been taken away. And over everything has hung this pervasive anxiety, the result of our awareness that so much is abnormal. The feeling that everyday life involves risk that we didn't have to consider before. How do we flourish in a world of Zoom worship services? Where is the good life on the 65th weekend night in a row spent watching Netflix? And yet, if the ashray way of life is truly marked out by wisdom, by knowing God and living according to that knowledge, then it is possible even in the midst of a pandemic. Because our present circumstances, no matter what they are, do not change either who we were made to be or who God is. So the question is, what would it look like to live wisely in the midst of your present circumstances? What ways of being in the world would cause someone steeped in the language of the scriptures to look at you and declare, "Now there is one who is Ashrei. There is one who is flourishing. There is one whose life reflects a deep knowledge of the God in whose image she is made." Sisters and brothers, know this: you are a child of God, made in God's image and dearly beloved. Knowing this, may you go into this week seeking to know God more fully, seeking to allow this knowledge to, by the power of the God-breathed, Pentecost-arrived Spirit of our Lord at work in you, may it be reflected in your image-bearing life, the life of true flourishing. Amen.